teachers in 5 states have walked off the job recently, showing statewide displays of solidarity over low wages and poor state funding for education. We're talking about what these protests mean here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dina Rollinger studies protests and politics in America. She's a sociology professor at Florida State University, author of a recent article in The Conversation. It's called 3 Reasons Why Teachers Are Striking Right Now. Dina, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So we're seeing these strikes all over the place, some waiting in the wings, brewing. Why are teachers striking right now?
Well, there are exactly 3 reasons. One that you mentioned a bit, and it's about stretched resources. It's not simply that public education has less money coming into it, but there's a lot more competition in a lot of states over these funds. So just one example would be charter schools. We actually have 25 states in the U.S. that don't have caps on the number of schools that they can open in any given year, which means more competition for a very small pool of money. And this makes it very difficult for existing schools to cover costs for personnel and materials and their upkeep. Another reason is school is in session right now. And so teachers, we often forget how important teachers are, not just for education, but for something like childcare. I know myself and lots of other parents across the country send our children to school and not know that they'll be educated and safe. And when teachers don't show up, that has effect on whether I can go to work as well as others, and it affects whether or not my work gets done. So it's a really great way to make their impact felt. And state legislators are making the decisions about budgets. So this is a good time to apply that kind of pressure. And we have certainly seen that the public is behind teachers and is very supportive of them striking to protest low pay and school funding cuts.
So we've heard in recent days about protests in Colorado, possible strikes in California, North Carolina, Utah. What strikes you as similar about these walkouts, and what is different?
Oh, goodness. Well, so certainly we see in a lot of states there's right-to-work legislation. A lot of these states have right-to-work legislation, which means that they don't have particularly strong unions. That's also a difference. So California, that's not the case. But we certainly see this shared sense of solidarity that you mentioned. And one of the things that really benefits teachers now is the easy way in which they can communicate. So they can turn, which we've seen teachers do, to social media tools like Facebook, which makes it very easy for them to communicate, share ideas about what's working, what might work, and what to perhaps do different to adjust to their state and make it happen.
And in California, they're really relying heavily on social media for organizing. Is that right?
Well, as they did in Oklahoma. So California, Oklahoma, really, you know, West Virginia was the first state in which we saw teachers go on strike. And in the state of Oklahoma, educators there started a Facebook page and within a few days had the equivalent of 75% of the teachers signed up. And obviously these were teachers from other states as well, but there's been a lot of support among teachers for striking, and they have this place where they can gather, they can easily share tactics and talk about whether or not it's time to push for change in their own states.
Okay, so if unions aren't as robust in these states where we're seeing a lot of organization, a lot of statewide organization displays of solidarity, walkouts, what is the push-pull there? Because wouldn't unions be a driving force in organizing?
Well, of course, unions are extraordinarily important. But what we often forget is that we rely on one another in a variety of ways. And so we're this interconnected system. And when one group decides to withdraw their labor, it has extraordinary effects. So disruption is something that works. And so even in states where teachers don't have strong unions or don't have unions, they still have leverage. It's their ability to disrupt an educational system and send ripples through the state economy.
We're talking right now with Dina Rollinger. She is a professor of sociology at Florida State University. She studies protests and politics in the U.S. And she wrote a recent piece in The Conversation that we saw three reasons why teachers are striking right now. We're talking with her about these strikes. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the protests we're seeing around the U.S.? Is this the right move for education, or is this problematic when teachers aren't in the classroom with students? What do you think we can learn from the teacher protests we're seeing around the nation? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dina, some coverage, as you note, points to the movement against President Trump as the reason behind these protests by educators. What do we know about this assumption?
Well, it's not true. So protest has been on the rise in the U.S. for a very long time. There is a huge increase in protests between 1960 and 1985. And it's not just the number of protests, it's the size of those protests. So we saw a huge increase in the number of protests in Washington, D.C., for example, that had over 100,000 people. And it also makes this assumption that it's only liberals or progressives that go and take their stories to the street. And that, we simply have seen, is not true. While there certainly is a lot of focus on this resistance movement, we're very quickly forgetting about the Tea Party movement, which not that long ago took not only to D.C., but to cities around the country. So really, it's an American pursuit. And sort of the last problem with acting as though it's left-leaning individuals only is that we're not recognizing the political differences among teachers themselves. And there's been really great research where teachers have been surveyed, and we can see just how politically diverse they are and how they feel about these protests. And oftentimes, even if it's not something they would want to do, they feel like this is the moment that things in the classroom have gotten bad enough and in their schools that it's time, that they can't wait anymore.
Help us get on the ground where these protests have taken place. Have they marched to the capitals in their states? Have they been outside their schools? Where have these protests taken place?
Well, protests have taken place at a variety of locations. Largely, it makes sense to go where your state legislators are. So we've certainly seen, and there are some additional, so North Carolina, they'll be doing a rally in Raleigh on May 16th, and they'll take it to the legislators to let them see. There's a real power in being visible. This is part how your message spreads. When people show up in large number around a common cause, it attracts attention, and it can grow support. And again, as you mentioned, we've certainly seen very mixed reactions by politicians to some of these protests. And we've also seen some groups have more power than others. So teachers have gotten a lot of success. But we very recently saw some bus drivers in Georgia were fired for calling in sick in mass amounts. In an effort to do the exact same thing, which is draw attention to their poor working conditions.
So based on what you've seen, how these protests have gone so far, are we able to say anything if teachers will have their demands met? Are they getting their demands met?
Well, we've mixed success, certainly. Some states seem to be doing better than others, so teachers in Oklahoma and Arizona have done fairly well, for example. West Virginia, certainly, teachers were happy to have some of their demands met. I think that we will have to look into the coming years. Arizona teachers are a great example because they are using their initial success as a rallying point to put together a strategy to get $1 billion put back into education. So instead of seeing it as this is something that we're doing now because we're trying to affect fiscal decision-making for the following year, they're saying let's create a plan, let's work together, and let's get our educational system back on track.
Well, Dina, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dina Rollinger is a professor of sociology at Florida State University studying protests and politics in the U.S. She's the author of the conversation piece, Three Reasons Why Teachers Are Striking Right Now. Coming up, we'll check in on Wisconsin's teachers with the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council joining us. And you have a line at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the protests we're seeing around the U.S.? Is this the right move for education? Years out from Act 10 now, do you think the teaching profession is making strides? Is it better or worse off here? You can call in. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. It's National Teacher Appreciation Week, and we're having a conversation about the climate for teachers here in Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee businessman and philanthropist Herb Cole posted a You Just Got Funded message yesterday to almost 600 teachers in more than 350 schools. His foundation paid out a total of $425,000 across the state through the online platform for teacher projects called DonorsChoose.org. Let's bring in Ron Martin now. He is president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council and a social studies teacher in Eau Claire, where we're reaching him today, though, in Hayward, where he's traveling as part of National Teacher Appreciation Week. Ron, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, first of all, before we get started, what do you make of Herb Cole's announcement yesterday of funding hundreds of projects for teachers around the state?
It's simply incredible. Senator Cole has always been such a strong supporter of our public schools and our teachers through his foundation. So it's just always pleasing when people step up to do things like this.
So what are Wisconsinites doing to celebrate teachers in the state this week?
Well, it's an exciting week for educators, as this is the time when we stop and reflect on all of our educators all across Wisconsin. And I think every one of us can think back to a teacher who's had a big impact on them, made a difference in their lives. And this is the time when you reach out to them and thank them. But this is an important week because, as you know, and many other people know, it's a hard job. Kids come in with so many different things and you're exhausted at the end of the day. And here we are nearing the end of the school year and it's exhausting. So having this opportunity to value the profession and value teachers is really incredibly important.
Well, Jenny on Facebook says Diane Dorfler of Brookfield Central High School, she made a huge impact on me in her creative writing and English classes. Jenny says, I'm now 56 and I still think of her often. She taught about life. She taught me about creativity. She made us accountable. She encouraged us to care. An absolutely amazing teacher who is still teaching today. So there is, yeah, just such an inspiring, uplifting moment there with a teacher. You talk to educators around Wisconsin. What have you learned about what they need to be successful?
Right. It's a challenging profession. You know, I've always thought of teaching as a calling. And when it becomes a calling, it becomes a part of who you are and what you do. And I think, you know, for the last 10 years, probably, we've seen less and less resources put into our public schools, which makes it even harder because we see so many kids who need so many different things. And when I'm working with my eighth graders in Eau Claire, and I see in my class of 25, 26 kids, I see that so-and-so needs this and so-and-so needs this, and I just don't have the resources. And I'm even limited on what I can provide out of my own pocket anymore, just because I don't have those resources. So that's a challenge. The pay has remained, you know, fairly stagnant over the last 7-8 years. Minimal increases that don't match the cost of living. That's been a challenge for educators, especially some of our early career educators who are coming into the profession with debt from college and having to take on a second job. So I think those are some of the biggest challenges, and it's a hard profession. It's a hard career, but it's an enjoyable one as well, on the other hand. And I think that's the hard part, is so many educators come in with such a heart of gold, as that teacher mentioned about her teacher and what the difference she made in her life. It just makes it even more enjoyable, but also challenging on the other hand.
You recently gave a keynote speech to the Wisconsin Education Association Council Representative Assembly with this message that we are seeing, whether it's teacher striking in another state or picketing in Milwaukee over the budget. It's about respect, both for students and educators. Talk a little bit more about this need for more respect. Where are you going with that?
Well, I think for the last 7-8 years, the voice of the educator has oftentimes been absent when decisions are made. So whether it be, you know, at the state level, the national level, or even at the local level, when they're making decisions that impact the classroom and impact the kids that we work with, and if the teacher voice or the educator voice isn't present, that, in my opinion, is very disrespectful. They are the professionals. They are the ones that are working day to day in those classrooms and understand the student that they're working with, and they need to be a part of the critical decisions that are made for the district. I think, you know, there's so many cases and so many examples throughout the state where the voice of the educator really has been dismissed, and that just is not helpful for our kids. We need the teacher voice there.
Let's go to Owen now, who's waiting in Wyoega. Hi, Owen.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to take a moment to thank all teachers that may be listening at this time for the hard work and the effort they put in to educate the next generation and ensure that Americans can continue to compete with the rest of the world in our intellectual capabilities. And I was raised by a teacher. And I saw how hard my mother worked and the tireless effort she put in and the scholarships that she helped people get because they didn't have a lot of money in their families, lower-income students. She worked really hard to make sure they got a scholarship and were able to get a good education. These type of things don't need to be taken for granted any longer. I don't understand why we're using teachers as a scapegoat for the pain of paying taxes when we want to cut a teacher's budget so we can build a new football stadium like what they've done here in Wyoega. It seems more important that people see athletic departments' budgets get bolstered after you take away a teacher's income. Mm. And to me, I think in a long-term outlook, I believe that a career in athletics or sports is probably not going to benefit as many as a career in engineering or mathematics and science or English is going to give somebody the ability to continue to participate and pay taxes and be part of it.
Owen is getting at here is priorities. Ron Martin, your insights.
Yeah, actually, that's just what I wrote down on my piece of paper here, priorities. A budget really reflects where your priorities are, and I think that it's been a little backwards in Wisconsin in that we haven't put the kind of funding we need, and we have a funding problem when it comes to how we fund schools, and that needs to be addressed, and we need to take care of that. So Owen is absolutely right, because an investment in public education is a long-term investment for our state.
Well, we're hearing a lot about teacher strikes on the national stage, but the news hits close to home as well. The Milwaukee Public Schools Teachers Union is setting the stage for possible walkouts over the proposed 2018-2019 budget. And meanwhile, there was standing room only at a Madison School Board meeting last week where educators and supporters called for a base wage increase. Can you help us walk through how Wisconsin teachers are feeling, especially in light of the protests we're seeing in other states?
Right. I mean, that's critically important for us to take a look at each of these different states like West Virginia and Oklahoma, Arizona, Kentucky. And I think one of the things that we have to be real clear on is that these are not strikes in these states. These are job actions, because it's illegal in West Virginia and Oklahoma, Arizona, and Kentucky to strike. And so these individual teachers are taking it to the streets through protesting and rallies. And I think that we've seen that in Wisconsin, starting with the Act 10 protests. People were real frustrated with the way in which government in Wisconsin was operating. And we've continued those in just different ways. We're just in different spots with 423 different school districts in the state of Wisconsin. Each district is a little bit different at where they're at. And I think what you see in Madison and Milwaukee are examples of what we will see in other parts of the state. I think we will take things to our local school boards. We will take things to our local communities. We'll be more involved in elections, particularly local elections. We've seen a record number of referendums pass. So we are doing, it's just a little bit different the way in which we're doing things.
We're talking with Ron Martin. He is president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. He's also a social studies teacher in Eau Claire. You can join the discussion about teachers, your appreciation, your questions about education in America, 800-642-1234. How has a teacher changed your life? How is your community or your school showing its appreciation of teachers? Have you left the profession? If so, why? You can call in at 800-642-1234, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ron Martin, years after the protests over Act 10, how would you describe the climate for Wisconsin teachers today?
Well, I think the climate is pretty low in a lot of school districts for educators. I think their morale and how they feel as educators has been documented through some of the survey that the Department of Public Instruction recently conducted. Teachers are feeling pretty beat up. As Owen mentioned, oftentimes the educators are pitted against the taxpayer. They're the fault. Taxes are going up in their communities. And it's just a hard time to be an educator. And we're doing everything in our power at Wisconsin Education Association Council to bring that joy back to teaching, to engage educators in conversations, talk about how do we return the joy of teaching and what are the things that we can do with our school boards and our administrators to get teacher voice back into the room. I travel all over. I sit here in Hayward and I'm looking out the window and I'm thinking about how important the Hayward Community Schools are to this community. You know, I grew up just not far from here. And it's the Hayward Hurricanes. This is the center of Hayward. Our public schools are our community's pride and joy. So we really need to get back to valuing public education and valuing educators.
Let's go to Troy now, waiting in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. Unfortunately, I am an educator, but unfortunately it's during the Governor Walker administration's era. I just want to say that one of the things that stands out to me the most is that we have a governor whose donors, you know, the business class that own businesses and these factories, they're trying to get people to go in these factories for like $12 an hour. And that's what his job is doing. So he's breaking unions. And that's why we've seen the shift with education, where there's not a lot of focus on higher education or on teachers and on unions. It's more about the focus is more about getting you to do more for less money and get into some of these like Foxconn or some of these lower paying factory jobs that donors are creating.
So, Troy, are you an educator right now?
Yes, I'm actually an educator, and it's interesting because I'm an educator and I work in a charter school in Milwaukee. And one of the things I noticed, you know, an obvious one is charter schools have hedge funds, and the pay is less. A lot of these charters, not mine, but a lot of them are privately owned, and there's hedge funds, and they're anti-union, and they pay less, and they work you longer, so.
Troy, thanks for the call. Ron Martin, what is the impact of charter schools on this conversation about public schools here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it has a huge impact when our state legislature, in essence, creates two education budgets, and there are 423 public schools where 80% plus of our kids go to school. are in essence receiving less money than what our kids are at these privately funded voucher and charter schools. And so we have two systems going on, and that doesn't add to creating a good climate in our schools, because schools are getting less and less money to do all the things that they have to do to educate kids. And so it plays a big role. It's a big impact on our state budget, but also in the issue of morale.
Well, Governor Walker really put education as the cornerstone for his budget, his top bullet point accomplishment for education in the most recent session was this $11.5 billion allocation for K-12 education over 2 years. That is an all-time high in actual raw dollars, but that doesn't take into account inflation. So what about that infusion of dollars into education?
I guess for me, the big question I have is why now? I'm pleased that the money is being put back into our public schools. It's needed. But the last 7 years, where has that money been? There's been so many cuts to public education, and the budget that comes from the state, it's been so dramatic as far as what districts have been able to do, as far as the kinds of cuts. So I just wonder why now, where was he the last 7 years when we really need it? Because it's going to be hard to make up for 7 years of incredible amount of money lost that went into our public schools. I think of my niece who goes to Minong Northwood School, and she's a junior. And so for 7 years, since, you know, third grade, fourth grade, there have been cuts. And then all of a sudden now her junior, senior year, there's going to be some money infused back in our public schools. We can't get back those years that Abby lost. We can't get those years back. And so I'm just real concerned with the fact that you cut for 7 years and then all of a sudden you throw a bunch of money into our public schools. It just confuses me.
Brandy on Facebook is remembering her teacher, Mrs. Karen Fitchett, her orchestra teacher from middle through high school. Brandy says two words, brilliant woman. So thank you for sharing that, Brandy.
I just love to hear those stories. I think back to my favorite teacher, or a teacher that had a big impact, Mrs. Hennessy. She's no longer with us, but she treated us as if each of us were her kids, and that just was impactful to me, and I think that's what I'm hearing from you and the Facebook response.
Ron Martin, one thing that's been a big topic of conversation both on the state level and the national level is school safety. What's struck you about how school safety is being treated here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think there are several things that are important. I think the Department of Public Instruction has been very proactive. They've been working with a school safety task force that's been in place for several years, and they've put together several recommendations from the group that met, and I think that those are really good recommendations, ones that we should take a look at, increasing the amount of support that we give to schools, particularly in the area of mental health. We need more counselors. We need more psychologists, social workers. We simply need more support in schools to kind of head off some of these issues, because for the most part, Wisconsin schools are safe schools, and I think we have to take that into consideration. But we want to do everything we can to prevent something that's catastrophic, something that happened, you know, in Parkland or Columbine or Sandy Hook. We want to prevent those things, and there are some really good recommendations that came forth from this particular group. And so I hope that we continue to address those and we take a look at what we can do to make sure we provide everything we can to our schools.
We're talking through the climate for Wisconsin teachers, what's being said, what's being talked about, issues raised here on The Morning Show. Ron Martin stays with us. He's president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council and a social studies teacher in Eau Claire. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has a teacher changed your life? How is your community or your school showing its appreciation for teachers? Have you left the profession? Was that a big decision? And if so, why? You can call in, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network.